I am Division Chief Scott Robb.
I'm Division Chief Josh Urgai.
And today we are going to talk about the hot topic of social media and how it relates to the fire service.
Or the social media, as the kids call it.
Yes, yes. So social media's got a lot of goods and bads with it. And if you've ever been through one of Golden Ranch Fire District's processes in the most recent future, we typically ask a social media question at the end. And a lot of times it's super awkward. And a lot of times it's me that has to ask it. And essentially what I'm doing is asking you to be my friend on Facebook or Instagram in real time. And then we go through this awkward pause of, oh, well, I don't really know my account password, or I didn't bring my phone, or I didn't do whatever. And so we have a computer right there and we bring up this person's name and whatever social media presence they have. And sometimes it's up on a nice big screen too. And we all scroll through it together.
And it's been a mixed bag.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And a lot of times I think word has gotten out at this point where people get it and they at least know to clean their sites up before you're going to go into a chief's interview, because that could be a thing that you have to stand tall on. But really, the reality is whatever you are posting on social media, you do have to be able to stand tall in front of your grandmother or your children or your boss or anything else, because you're throwing it out to the world.
And once it's out there, it's out there for good. You may think you're deleting it. You may think you're taking it down, right? But that doesn't mean somebody hasn't ripped a copy of it or screenshotted it or whatever the case may be to share in however they see fit.
Right. So obviously we've got to be smart up on the front end, and hopefully that we're not going to be your parents and talk about that so much as we're going to talk about how it relates to the fire service and some of the pitfalls with that, because we have brought up some social media in final interviews on great candidates and chosen not to hire them just based on a couple offensive posts or inappropriate. Because if you're going to do that for the public, how can we trust you in the critical situations that we're putting you in?
Especially being a governmental agency, right?
Yep.
You know, everybody has some things that they might have put out there that they regret, right? But and if that includes you and you want to come work for our organization, then not only should you clean that up before you come in, but just adopt some better practices that are going to help you generally throughout the course of your life.
Yeah, Josh, but what about my rights? I got a freedom of speech. Why can't I just say whatever I want whenever I want?
And you should, if you need to exercise that, right? But there are some limitations to freedom of speech when you're working for a government agency, right? It's well documented. Kurt Verone talks a lot about on his blog, right? Of where that ends, and particularly once you begin to identify with a government agency, including ours, mm-hmm. right? Your speech impacts the ability and perception of the organization. And that's really where we internally draw that line, right?
Right.
Is if the public is going to take what you're saying as an official stance of the organization, if that's how you choose to identify yourself, that's where those speech questions come into play.
Yeah. And the higher you go up, the more you're identified with the organization. So it's even more important for officers, chief officers, et cetera.
Exactly. Which is why you can't find me on Facebook.
Yes, you are a ghost on Facebook.
I don't have a presence, yeah.
Yeah, and I felt like my social media was pretty strong. I've recently peeled it back, as we talked about, based on some deep philosophical discussion. And it wasn't that anything was inappropriate. It was just more like, I don't like just how much social media manipulates people and tracks people and all of those things that I'm just not comfortable with from that side of it. I feel comfortable with what I share from a day-to-day basis, but just not that side of it. It's too invasive for me.
And you can take a really deep dive into what's going on with that, right? But there are as many as there's pitfalls, there are some goods. Mm-hmm. And I think we can cover those today with our special guest.
Yeah. Today we've got special guest for our Golden Ranch Fire District. He is the PIO captain. And he handles all of the public information, the amazing public service announcements that we put out and why our presence is so strong. He's a main contributor, Captain Adam Gerald. How are you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
Yeah, yeah, you are. You know, he's typically the guy that'll walk by and kind of hate on our podcasts and be like, losers.
Pound on the door, yeah. Sound a siren, whatever.
Just got to keep it real. That's one of my main points of being here is keeping it real.
So we're going to turn an enemy into a friend here with your guest hosting, because you are a subject matter expert on this, and this is something that's really important to you, and you serve as that, I don't want to say watchdog for the organization, but you have to do that in your role, because you have to know what we can and can't do as an organization, what you can and can't do as individuals. So I think this is a great topic for both our internal people and doing best practices for what they share, and people that we want to have organizations or are on the fence with some of their social media policies that really do feel confident with us and our best practices. So why don't you share some of those?
Right. So you guys have touched on a couple of them already. So I think the most important thing is the inappropriate post. That's really going to get you in trouble being a prospective firefighter coming into an organization like you guys talked about, that you're going to have them view their social media during the interview process. But then also for current employees, inappropriate posts are going to get you in trouble pretty quick.
Well, how do you define that, though? Is inappropriate objective? So I know some things are universally, objectively inappropriate.
So some things are pretty universally, but there is going to be some subjectivity going into it. You kind of touched on it in your opening about if this isn't something you could show your kids or your grandmother, probably something you're not going to want to be putting out there as a representation of yourself if you're looking to maintain a clean social media presence, right?
Right.
It's kind of the filter you have to look at it through. But there is going to be some object or subjectivity to what's appropriate and inappropriate. So as far as the fire service, of course, anything racist, that's kind of, like you said, one of those hard lines. It's not going to be in there. But even stuff posting about alcohol, right? Going to the lake and having a good time. But if there's constantly a lot of posts about that, it might be something that an organization might start looking at of, is this the kind of person we want that all they're posting about is good times, and do they do anything else other than have good times, right?
Right, and that's great that you're having good times, but you've also got to see how it's going to be perceived from somebody that's not you. Because while we know the intent of whatever we would put out and post and all the history behind it and everything else, other people just get a quick snapshot of that, or they'll get a continued pattern. And we have mentored like early up-and-coming officers on like, how is this perceived?
Right.
We know you don't mean anything by it, but here's how it could be perceived and could be perceived in your professionalism.
Right. And like Josh alluded to, you're putting yourself out as a spokesperson for the department. If your first post is, hey, I'm on ladder 380 and we just slayed the dragon last shift and look at these cool fire pictures, and your next post is you drinking too much at a party, mm-hmm. Well, just take a quick snapshot of those two pictures. Somebody's going to look in and be like, whoa, Cold Orange firefighters, they're a bunch of drunks. Even though it's just one person,
right?
It looks bad on the entire organization. That's when the organization is probably going to have to take a stand on it, because we need to maintain the proper social media presence we already have.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. Well, and even going back to that first one, right? Our one of our core services is we provide fire suppression, and we want to go out and provide that fast professional response that solves that problem and mitigates the damage. But at the end of the day, somebody has suffered a loss, right? And if we're right. High-fiving and what a great job we did, right, that resident has suffered a loss of their property. Their lives are altered. They're changed in not a positive fashion, right? So for me, it's having that awareness. And I think it goes back to that old cliche of the headline test.
Right. And so that goes into the subjectivity, right, of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And it might look cool for our firefighters who maybe, your first structure fire and you're happy you got that under your belt. But somebody did suffer a loss, or a picture of an extrication you just did. Somebody got hurt in that car crash. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people aren't thinking about that stuff, the deeper ramifications when you're making those posts of who has been affected by this incident you just ran.
Yeah.
So, and that goes into some of the other things we don't want posted. We don't want pictures from a scene posted because we worry about the HIPAA violations, right? So if we're posting pictures of a car crash and somebody can identify somebody that was involved in that incident, that's going to be bad for the department. So those are other things we're looking at as being inappropriate.
Now, typically, you're working with chief officers that are on scene of major incidents, because if you can't get to every call, you entrust them to take a couple pictures that are worthy of sharing to some degree, and then you kind of scrub those, or you're looking for... We educate our chief officers, but then you're kind of trying to scrub those too before they end up on the official Golder site.
Absolutely. So it's a fine line. If we want to post the good work that our people are doing, we want to post newsworthy events, but we got to balance that with keeping our patient privacy at the forefront of all that. So they might send us pictures that look pretty nice, but it's just something we're not going to put out there just because we got to think, like I said, deeper down the line of other people who may have been affected by the incident.
Yeah. Good. So that's a good first one.
Second one, I would say knowing the policies of the organization you work for as it relates to social media and what the ramifications are, if you're even allowed to post at all. Are you allowed to take pictures on a scene? Every organization is going to be different, and policies are probably going to change because social media is such an ever-changing dynamic, right, that there's new platforms are coming into place and new ways to share, that the organization is always going to be looking to update their policies. So you got to be up on that of things you're posting, if it's going to violate that policy and what's going to happen to you if you do post in violation of those.
Yeah. And organizations can fall on completely different extremes of that spectrum too, depending on how comfortable they feel with it. I know there are a lot that are very inclusive and engaged and active and showing all the great things that we're doing, which helps your social media presence. And then there's also organizations that don't even want to take the risk at all and want zero affiliation with anything that you're posting unless it is thoroughly scrubbed through.
And I think you got to find that fine balance, right? You can't just completely, we're not posting anything, and you can't just, okay, employees, you could post whatever you want just because you're going to run that risk of upsetting somebody and making the organization look bad. So it's just constantly watching. And by no means are we watching everybody's social media account that works for the department. But if something is brought to our attention, then we're definitely going to have to look at it.
So would you say that our social media policy is exactly the same as every other fire or EMS provider in the region?
No, not at all. I think there's some similarities to it, but I think some of them are much more laxed on what their people are allowed to post and what's viewed as probably shouldn't be posting.
So if we were to bring in somebody who worked at one of these other agencies into ours, right, and if there's a difference that somebody could find themselves thinking they were operating under a policy that they were used to and ours being different could land them in a different spot.
I think probably the most universal one is that we've scrubbed all patient identifiers of an incident scene, right? So the one thing we always do is I'll blur license plates. I mean, not that that's a huge patient identifier, but we're doing our due diligence to limit the amount of information people can gather from the scene. So
yeah, somebody coming, an address number on a house.
Exactly. So taking a picture far enough back so you can't read those address numbers, far enough back from an accident scene, you can't really, you know it's a Toyota Camry, but you don't know it's your neighbor's Toyota Camry. So I think that would be pretty safe to say that most agencies in the region are going to have policies related to that, that we're not identifying any patients when we're making these posts.
Gotcha.
No. Great. Great tip.
Another tip is just spending too much time on social media. I mean, I've never had a social media presence prior to coming into this, so it was a steep learning curve coming into this position.
Yeah, it was.
But what I've recognized is you could get real deep down the Twitter and real deep down the Instagram and spend hours and hours and hours looking at pictures of cute puppies, right? So right. Whatever you're into, but you don't want to spend too much time on your social media because, especially if you get in the role of probationary firefighter, you have a lot of tasks you need to accomplish daily on shift and then also off shift because you have assignments you need to complete. It's kind of like being in school again. So you don't want to fall behind on assignments simply because you're spending too much time on social media. And tying into that, I think we're seeing with some of the younger kids who've grown up in the age of social media, they have a hard time interacting face-to-face with human beings anymore. It's all done through Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and whatnot, to where they have a hard time being an adult and growing up and having face-to-face conversations with people, which is a big part of what we do, especially on our EMS scenes. You got to walk into somebody's worst day and be able to communicate effectively with them and get them through the problem that they're having.
Yeah, and day-to-day station life. is you're interacting with five or six other people and living with them for 10 days a month. And it's not just about retreating into your room, you know, whenever something's going on. You don't want to lose that team building side of it. Absolutely. So people are consistently out and engaging with each other, which is what we want, to build those skills. And you're going to need those skills to be in the fire service. So there's got to be some balance.
And I think you guys have been in the fire service longer than I have, but you could attest to that more of when we went away from the communal dorm sleeping to the individual rooms. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more of that after dinner, everybody hanging out and watching TV together and whatnot in the day room. But now it does seem like people are losing that team bonding part of that.
Right. And a lot of your active officers are going to be consistently encouraging the opposite of that. It's great that we have a place that we can retreat and get some privacy, because that was a problem in the other end of the spectrum, and the communal bunk rooms were rough.
Just awful.
Josh snores and they, so loud, let me tell you.
And they smell so bad. And yeah, your sleep is already interrupted and now you're dealing with each other.
Yeah.
So that it has been great, but the downside of that, if everybody's got their own devices, their own lives, retreating into your rooms, you're losing that human social aspect of the interaction.
And back to the station life, if you're so used to dealing with adversity via social media, you might have a small cross crew disagreement that could totally be handled simply by face-to-face hashing it out. But if you don't know how to do that, you don't have that skill in your pocket of how to interact with people, it's just going to turn into a bigger thing and create a bigger problem down the road.
So Adam, one thing you mentioned was the inability to carry on a face-to-face communication. Is over-reliance on social media, does that translate into other forms of communication as well?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I saw when I was an officer, some of my probationary firefighters coming in, their writing skills seemed to be lacking. And I contribute
with
a lot
LOLs
of that to LOLs and they
Zim
can't write without
really
an emojis, right? And so we try to portray a professional organization, and you know, we encourage the education and whatnot, and it's going to be tough to further education if you can't write effectively. Mm-hmm. Even whether you're going on to your schooling and getting your degrees and whatnot, or even just composing an email to send to your captain, to send up to your chief level, it just looks bad if you don't have that basic writing skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, and everything we do has to be documented, right? Mm-hmm. And every call, every interaction has to be documented in a legal format. I imagine if you can't compose a solid narrative because you're just not used to writing out in long form, it would be a challenge to develop you as a professional and put the organization at some risk as well.
Absolutely. And not only that, it's just going to take you longer to do your job. I mean, I was a medic. I still am a medic. Nobody likes doing the narratives, but you got to do them. And if you already have trouble doing that writing, it's just going to take you a lot longer to get that narrative completed. So you're going to, you know, hate it even more. So if you can get those skills under your belt and be an effective communicator, be it verbally or written, it's just going to make your job a lot easier.
Any place you'd recommend as far as getting those skills that you might not have yet? Like community call?
Just working on your associate's degree. Courses. I mean, everybody needs their high school diploma to apply. So just going through those college courses and remembering the importance of being able to write effectively. I mean, texting and the shorthand that texting and social media has its place, but you can't lose sight of the importance of traditional good written communication.
Oh. Awesome.
So Adam, I think I inadvertently jumped you up to topic four with that question.
You did. That's okay. I think we got through that one. So, and so my last topic is, you know, we've kind of been harping on social media, but there are some definite benefits to it. For prospective employees, most every agency out there has a social media presence, so I encourage them to investigate those departments through their social media. You could see a lot of what's important to them. I mean, whether it's actually written out through mission statements or whatnot, or just look at their historic post, and it's going to show you what they hold to be important to them, and it could help you in your interview process and see if that's something that you align with of what their values are. Mm-hmm. And then as you further your career, you could reach out to, meet friends at conferences and whatnot, and learn how people do the fire service in different parts of the country and stay in communication with those people through that social media and bring back new and innovative ideas to your department that maybe people in your department haven't thought about.
Do you ever take the opportunity through our social media interactions, like when you're posting information related to an incident, to try and get out educational or additional information out to our public via that route?
Yeah, so that's one thing we always try to do. You know, it can be kind of difficult depending on the scene, but if we know, if we had a good save, like we have a house fire and we know the first arriving units got on scene and people say, yeah, the smoke alarms went off and that's what woke us up and that's what got us out. I mean, that's great. So we could champion the fact that the smoke alarms did save lives in that situation. You know, we got to temper that because we don't know all the reasons why the smoke alarms did or didn't activate. I can't be posting stuff because I don't want to make people look bad on social media, right? So, but it's definitely a great avenue to push out our safety message. Every time we're posting something, we're going to try to attach a safety message to it, even though if people have heard it before, if we just keep saying it over and over and over again, it could get instilled in different audiences.
I knew I learned about stop, drop, and roll a lot as a kid, and I always thought catching on fire would be a huge problem at this age, and it just isn't, but it shows that repeated messaging works. Right.
Well, you know, and that's great because I just taught a fire extinguisher class to some kids. They're roughly high school age. And we're talking about, well, what if it's a chemistry lab, actually. And they're talking about, well, what if somebody catches fire in here? I'm like, well, what do you do? There was a brief pause. And the one kid's like, stop, drop, and roll. And, you know, you could see him reaching back into that kindergarten class when that firefighter told him to stop, drop, and roll. But it just shows these safety messages need to be pushed over and over and over again. So they do become kind of muscle memory if there is an emergency.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's an element of two, truly owning and embracing who you are as a public servant with your whole social media presence. And, you know, I can use myself as not always being the best example, because I would say my social media stuff really revolves around my hobbies. And like, I'm really into music as an example. And so I do advertising and stuff from that. But a lot of people, if you only knew me through social media, then you'd just be like, oh, that guy's a musician. Like, does he even have an actual job? Because I'm so into it that way. So none of us are really immune to, that goes back to the us trying to mentor a younger captain to say, this is how this could be perceived, like your very party nature. Well, in my case, it's really like, I had to start to question that and check myself and say, okay, most people know me on social media as a musician, but really I'm a chief officer for this organization. And I don't really spend a lot of time talking about that. It's kind of like my way to disconnect from work, but we're always connected to our works and we're always engaged as public servants. So, it was something for me to think about and have to kind of reframe what I'm doing on there.
Right. And even though you've never posted that I'm work for this department, like Josh said earlier, one of your bros may have, or you just
everybody
do a Google
knows.
Search.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do a Google search, you're going to come up as working for this department just based, you know, a news story or something like that. So it could get tied in. Yeah. You know, that's one thing I've always impressed upon people who've asked me at social media is, talking about being a firefighter, with great power comes great responsibility, right? So it's the best job in the world, but there are some downsides to it. If you want to be a knucklehead and post whatever you want on social media and rant and rave and whatnot, this might be not be the best job for you. You get a job. I mean, something that, you know, you could get fired from and move on to the next one. But if you want a good career in the fire service, this, you know, you got to think about what you're posting and how it's going to be perceived and how it could, you know, just all the ripples that could come from it.
Yeah.
And another problem is the fire service is, for those that aren't aware, it's very small. And we talk, even though there's a lot of firefighters out there. You mess up once and everybody's going to know about it, probably even before you finish your post, unfortunately. So
yeah, whether it's a sensitive topic or investigation or a relationship thing, or before social media, all news about each other spread like wildfire. And now it spreads like wildfire within seconds.
Yeah.
To the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Not just within your community where you operate, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have a bad day at work and you put that on social media and go to try and get a job somewhere else and that's going to come up.
Yeah. And, you know, Josh, you mentioned Kurt Frone. I was looking at his website earlier, and it's just amazing the number of firefighters who are getting jammed up because of social media just across the country. And it's, you know, it's a very volatile political climate right now with the protests and whatnot, and firefighters are posting stuff, and, you know, it's going against policy of their department, or it's like you talked about, Josh, it makes the department look bad or goes against the department's mission. and the firefighters are losing their job for it, taking it up legally, and the courts are siding with the departments that, yeah, that never should have been posted. So.
Yeah, and then that big default, like you said on number two, of what is your organization's policy on it? And when you just have clear, blatant violations of it, it makes it real cut and dry for both legal and the organization to make a decision.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, some of the Kurt Brown stuff is people will take it up to the courts and it's a violation of the First Amendment rights and whatnot. And it's a little vague on what is and what isn't, depending on the court and the judge you're going to get. But it's definitely a concern, and it's not like you're always going to be, yeah, they violate your First Amendment rights by you saying that. There's some gray areas to it, but it is difficult.
And in the risk-reward matrix, right, we harp this from the first day of the academy. We're going to risk a lot to save a lot. We're not going to risk anything to save nothing,
right?
It's weighing that risk versus reward. How bad do I need to thumb this out right now? How bad do I need to share this picture? What's the risk in terms of the reward? What am I going to get back? Am I going to get back 100 likes and go viral? Or is it worth risking my career for? So I think that's something that everybody's got to weigh against, like you said, department policy, the appropriateness of the post, how's this going to look?
Yeah. Well, and in all of our off-duty shenanigans that you get involved in, alcohol typically doesn't make you a better decision maker. So if you are enjoying yourself out in the evening, you might want to find a way to completely lose Wi-Fi access. Because the defense of, well, I wasn't in my right mind, I'd been doing some drinking, isn't really going to hold up for you, because now that's all out there and you got to stand tall for it the next day.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we hope we've been able to educate you a little bit on first our perspective and as Golden Ranch fire officers and the pitfalls and some of the great stuff on social media. As always, you can contact us. Adam, would you be comfortable with us giving your email if people have
absolutely
specific social media or PIO related yep. information? We want to make you accessible and
yes.
available for
please do.
Yeah. So we'll add Adam's email to our show notes at the end of this, and that's all we got for this week.
Thanks again, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.